You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.
Bon dia, Manny.
What's going on?
A little under the weather today.
Are you? Coming down? Right before the holiday?
You know what it is? I don't know. It's, you know, kids, school, whatever circulating going around.
Too much laughter?
Yeah, the episode last week was funny, man. That was really good, you know.
Stevie's always an entertaining individual.
He's a funny guy, man. It was hard for me to keep a straight face.
I was impressed, man, because I couldn't keep it.
No.
I was laughing genuinely. I was like, man, that's actually some pretty funny stuff, man.
Well, hey, listen, man, it's a bit of the real world situation. I've been in that situation, you know.
That's what's really funny. I caught that afterwards. I realized that happens for you all the time, but not just in Portuguese, but in other languages too. They play that language card.
Oh yeah, man. It's crazy. I Portuguese, Spanish, Greek, Ukrainian, who knows, man, what languages people are speaking, but yeah, you cross that, right? We have a multicultural workforce, and you have to be able to adapt, and you have to be able to find some of the info that you're looking for, right?
Is it the body language all the same? Doesn't matter what culture?
No, the Italians use their hands a little bit more.
Portuguese got to be up there with the hands too, man.
Oh, yeah, no, we're good with our hands, man.
They start flailing the arms. That's what it is,
man. No, but it was a good episode, and it's nice, man.
Well, it's nice little kickback to the audience, that's all. Holidays.
Man, safety is it's a bit of a dry topic, and you got to make it a little exciting and give everybody a little taste of what reality is out there in the field. And
I do like that you brought that up. You came up with that, and I can pretty sure feel confident in saying that no other safety podcasts are doing shit like that.
Yeah, whatever. I don't even watch.
You might. I don't watch it. I don't listen. But I don't assume. I don't see them sitting in their rooms going, you know what, let's do a holiday show where we're going to talk about broken English on the job site and use Portuguese and offend Portuguese people and all this other shit. And they don't do that. They don't have fun with it, because that's how you got to educate people, man. I'm sorry, but you got to educate people.
I don't know, man. All I know is that we try to do our best, and we try to make things relative to the people that are watching, and away we go. But thank you for all the comments. And you know how they say, Manny, the camera's supposed to add 10 pounds, but somehow it makes me look pasty white and bald all at the same time.
The lighting was a tiny bit off. It's always a little trick show. I don't know. These cameras have been acting up.
Man.
Listen, trust me, man.
That's the comments that I got. Phil, why do you look so bald?
Oh, God. Maybe too close to the light or something?
I was doing the Homer Simpson with the comb over, man.
Oh, man.
I got my last four hairs.
I've had, in early days when I started doing video, I had people reach out to me going, get prettier people on the show. And I was like, dude, you're not a fucking specimen yourself, man. I don't understand. Give me a break. This is about the conversation, right? So I leave the vanity shit out the door. I try to get the cameras as best as possible. I try to get the lighting as best as possible, but shit happens.
I've been told I'm handsome once in a while.
Everybody's a good looking individual.
Yeah, you're cute.
In a world of blind people. All right, let's get on with this one.
All about how employers can protect themselves. Because, we spend a lot of time on this show talking about, some doom and gloom, and these guys lost their arms and these guys lost their legs
Sure.
And we talk about fines and we talk about employers, and we obviously have gone through some of these convictions and seen what happened. But it's not all doom and gloom. You can protect yourself. You can protect your business. You can protect your workers. You can put yourself in a good position as an employer in terms of being prepared for anything that comes down the pipeline. There's a way to follow the law, and there's a way to make sure that your job sites are safe. Sometimes I compare this like going to the gym. Oh shit.
There we go. Caller. First time caller. Long time listener.
Oh, hi. You're on the podcast.
It's like having a safety rep representing you as a company is no different than you hiring the best regarding all the trades.
I think so. It's definitely comparable. Like safety companies is like hiring a trade. There's a million of them, right? You got to find one that you trust.
But you want good, better, or best, right?
For sure. For sure. I tell a lot of new clients too, when we get them, it's like, this is like going to the gym. You want to work out, you want to have muscles, you want to, gain weight, but you got to put in the time and you got to put in the effort. You got to come up with a game plan. You have to be disciplined. You have to be consistent. right? And that's what safety is really all about. It's nice to have a shiny binder, but if you don't follow it, it's not going to help
What's
you.
What's the purpose?
Yeah, it's not going to help you, right? It's a bit of a lifestyle choice.
It's true.
That's what it is, right? Very much. It's a bit of a lifestyle choice. And don't get me wrong, in my personal lifestyle, you know, I'm more adverse to taking some risks. And even in construction, you know, construction is dangerous. Construction is risky. You know, the probabilities of something happening on a construction site, getting injured on a construction site, are a lot higher than the probabilities of you getting injured in a kitchen or at home or something like that. Right? So odds, you know, sometimes like the casino too, man. It's risk and probability. And we want to help you reduce your risk. We want to help you reduce the probability of someone getting injured.
Wouldn't you want to, as a business owner, prepare yourself for the worst and have all those ducks lined up and never need to use them?
Well, listen,
because you've done all the right things and you've educated your crew, your job sites, and you've gotten everything ready in the event, but it never happens.
100%. And if something does happen, you want to be able to be in the position to say, I did this, I did that, I did this. It's like pulling out your trump cards, you know what I mean? Boom, I did this, I did that. And you want to be able to prove that you did your best.
That's it.
As an employer, right? Or that you did something.
Yeah.
You know, having nothing.
Instead of shoulders up.
And it happens a lot.
Yeah.
You know, let me see this inspection. Let me see that safety talk. Let me see your health and safety program. Let me see these training cards. And when you start getting big fat zeros to those questions, you already know, or at least I do, you know, what kind of employer this is going to be, right? Or what type of job site this is. And don't get me wrong, being an inspector or an enforcement officer is a lot different than being a consultant, right? Yeah. As an enforcement officer, it's you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And as a consultant, it's I suggest you do this and I suggest you do that. Right? These are my recommendations. It's up to you whether or not you want to do them.
Based on your experience working with the government, working on job sites.
Yeah, it's like listening to the plumber tell you how to do something and then you don't listen to the plumber and you listen to the electrician on how to lay pipe. Right? It makes no sense.
Clients do it all the time.
I wouldn't be surprised, you know, but it's not all doom and gloom. You know, a lot of our clients, all of our clients are in really good positions, you know, and they try to do their best. And if something is to happen or was to happen, just based on probability, you know, if you're in this business long enough, you're going to see something or something's going to happen. Chances are, you know, they're in good positions. And if something was to come up, no, they got us to help them out and they got all their paperwork to help them out and they got their workforce that can attest to everything that they're doing.
Would it be fair to compare it to new guy on site, don't know anything about that person, and you go crack open this new tool, start using it?
Yeah, you want
to. Why learn. Would you do that?
No, you want.
You at least have to have a conversation with that individual. What is your experience? What do you know about this tool?
Well, yeah, you know, due diligence, right?
Yeah.
And safety and due diligence are two separate things.
Yep.
You know, due diligence is how you covered your ass.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's in construction, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's dealing with the act and regulations, this can be other situations where you want to cover your ass, right? Due diligence can be applied to a lot of different ways. And when it comes to safety, safety is really the lifestyle component of it in terms of how is your job site? How do your workers understand? How are your workers performing the dangerous tasks? You know, how and why?
Why is important?
The why is important, right? And the why for the employer may be a little different than the worker. For the why for the worker is so I don't die or get seriously injured. The why for the employer is also the same, but the why is also the fines and the penalties and the possible jail time, et cetera. Right? And don't get me wrong, a worker can also get fines and stuff like that, but the worker is usually the one that gets hurt. Right? It's not the president of the company that...
Everybody else around that person reports the hurt.
Yeah.
Or you know, documents to hurt.
It's usually the worker that gets the shit end of the stick, right? Out of a lack of safety.
You never want to be a broken tradesperson.
No, you want to avoid injuries at all costs.
Yeah.
You know, at all costs. You're working with your body. That's your number one tool. And your brain, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, if you're missing a leg or if you're paralyzed or, you know, how are you supposed to function in your career?
There's some people that look at it as a payday.
What, getting injured at work?
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, WSAB used to be called, I think, WCB, Workers' Company. They went bankrupt, man. They had
because of that kind of stuff.
Because of people milking the system.
Yeah.
right? And this is a long time ago. I think it was the 80s or the early 90s or something like
now
that.
Now it's changed. The government does that.
Don't get me started, Manny. Trudeau's almost gone. I can't wait.
Listen, don't even, like, I get a lot of people sending me DMs going, look, he's going to resign. He's going to resign. Dude, it's a puppet show. Not until he's gone is he gone.
Yeah.
Threat of resign is not resigning.
I don't know. I don't want to get into politics. No,
I'm not going to get into it, but it's just, I'm not holding my breath. They're like, this is all about money, never about the people, which is unfortunate. And then I guess it connects to safety too, because it's always about money and not the people. That's the unfortunate part of safety.
Is Canada safer with our borders wide open? Is Canada safer with not checking the packages that come in? Is Canada safer by gun control? I don't know.
It's a wild west, man.
I don't know. Anyways.
Let's get into it. Let's get into it.
All right. So the number one tool that an employer has is a health and safety policy and program. And now what's a health and safety policy and program? A health and safety policy and program, in a nutshell, is your game plan for your business. How to work safely. What, where, when, why, and all of the stuff that goes into how to operate your business. If you were a football team, this would be your game plan book. In the event of this, this is what we do. In the event of that, this is what we do. This is our play to set up scaffolds. This is our play to, go on a roof.
So when you look at this and you're building this, you're looking at how big your company is and what projects are coming down the pipe, that idea?
Well, when we build these programs, the number one focus is the scope of work that this company is performing. So a plumbing company versus a carpentry company versus a roofing company, bricklayers, whatever it may be. So we look at the scope of work that is being performed and the hazards associated with that type of work. And again, the frequency of that type of work, whether or not, maybe once a year, this company goes into a confined space, for example. Mm. So if they do go into confined spaces, then there has to be a component in the health and safety program that deals with confined spaces.
Wow.
Okay.
And then obviously you get revisions if the company starts expanding their scope.
Well, to be honest with you, a health and safety program needs to be a fluid document. It's always growing. It's always shifting. It's always, being reviewed, being communicated. There's always input coming in from the workers or supervisors or project managers or whoever it may be. Something new has come up. We're going to do a critical lift. We've never done this before. What do we do? Right? Or we're going to set up the scaffold. And usually we're a roofing company, but for some reason we got to set up a scaffold. How do we do it? Right? So the health and safety program is what employers use to communicate, identify, control, plan, organize all of their health and safety within their construction projects, and also lays out the duties and responsibilities of the different workplace parties, the worker, the supervisor, the employer, whatever it may be, right? But it does have some standard components. It deals with health and safety policies. So there's different policies that outline what the health and safety program is and what the employer's commitment to health and safety. You got sections that deal with workplace violence and harassment because that's mandated by law inside the Occupational Health and Safety Act.
Has that one been abused lately?
The stats, has it gone up?
No, not stats, just the definition of violence and harassment, because you get a lot of people saying razzing of cultural events or a cultural people or is harassment, speaking, is harassment.
Listen, but that's construction. I've done investigations from workplace violence and harassment from something as simple, and again, I'm not
trivializing it.
Yeah, but yeah. Something as simple as, he looked at me the wrong way and I didn't like the way he looked at me. Yeah, on job sites, all kinds of things happen. To carpentry knife fights with helicopters flying over and the police coming. Yeah, that one was a crazy one.
What do you mean carpentry knife fight?
It was a crew versus crew on a job site. It was like eight guys versus eight guys, man.
It's like an Anchorman thing.
But dude, they pulled out hammers. They pulled out knives.
Really?
It was a full-blown out gang warfare on a job site.
It was crazy. That's violent, man.
It was like three years ago in Durham. And I got there, the helicopter was circling, the cops were on site, one guy's on the ground.
What was the reason for the argument?
I don't know. I didn't even get into it, man. It was a police matter. Injuries? At that point. Yeah. No, a guy got whacked in the head with a hammer. The other guy almost got stabbed. Almost. Yeah. Things happen, man.
Holy cow. So it's far from you looked at me funny to like that.
Yeah. There's definitely some extremes when it comes to this.
But you know what I'm getting at? Like razzing of culture.
Listen, this is a tricky one. And the reality is that, you know, HR is usually the ones that do these investigations internally. And then if it becomes a serious matter, it gets referenced to the police. Right. But, you know, the Ministry of Labor just verifies that you have the workplace violence and harassment components in your health and safety program and that you communicated to them, because anything beyond that becomes criminal matter and is in the hands of the police.
Wow.
So
you got some letters here now. All about letters here.
ESRTW, early and safe return to work. So if you have WSAB and you get an injury at work, what's the game plan to reintegrate that worker back into the workforce? Okay. You know, if he's injured, but, you know, your company wants to bring him back.
If they.
That's deals with talk. LTIs and insurance and, you know, so either people keep injuries off the books. It's kind of like getting into an accident and then they're like, hey, let's exchange insurance information. And you're like, yeah, I'll just want to pay cash. So there's some shenanigans that happen in here.
Which
and
I have no issue with.
Well, you can get charged for not reporting injuries to WSIB. We learned that on a previous show.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Right. So that's a whole other ball game. And then you as an employer are responsible to identify hazards. So when you're setting up a scaffold, for example, what are the hazards associated with building a scaffold? Go ahead, Manny. Test time.
What are the hazards?
Yeah.
If there's no guardrails.
So falling.
Yeah. If there's not a proper staircase to climb the scaffold, because you can't
Not all scaffolds have staircases.
No, but I thought technically speaking, regarding the government, you have to have a staircase to get up to the scaffold. You can't use the ladder on a scaffold.
There's multiple means of access and egress, and ladders, ramps, stairs are all acceptable means of access and egress.
So what else?
What's not acceptable is climbing the side of a scaffold together.
The cross braces. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I know.
So
and for the record, I've never done that.
No, neither have I. communication, right? So the requirements for the employer to communicate this health and safety information to the workers. Languages. So there is a requirement to ensure that your workers understand the information that you're communicating to them. Procedures. So step-by-step kind of game plan on how to do something specific. But keep this in mind too, Manny. You know, a health and safety program provides you the guidelines, provides the parameters, right? But construction's fluid. Construction has multiple variables. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these programs are written by health and safety professionals that have never been on a job site or don't understand the scope of work or, you know, have to kind of piece things together based on different inputs. It depends on the individual writing it.
But that's dangerous though, because they're blindly going into situations.
Well, you know, you try to do your best.
I want to ask you about languages. Is it easier for an employer to ask a worker to learn English or to just educate them in their language to safety?
Languages is a challenging component from the employer's perspective, because I think in Toronto we speak over 120 languages.
Wow.
Right. So in construction, you know, you can, if you have a diverse work group, you can have 5, 6, 7 different languages.
That's what I'm saying. If they all went to English class, is that easier than having to communicate with them in every single language that they're from?
Hey, listen,
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Hey, my grandmother, God rest her soul, passed away, and she was here for many, many years in Canada, and she never learned how to speak English.
Oh, my dad was the same
way. She didn't know how to read, and she didn't know how to write, but somehow she still managed to do all the things that she did, right? But yeah, English helps in an English-speaking country, but if you don't, then you got to adapt.
It's true.
Right? But this issue with languages, this problem must go back to the beginning of time. Right? You got workers from one country and they're being forced to work here and they don't speak English. I don't know, whatever language is. This is not a new problem.
No.
The lack of communication between employers and workers.
Probably gotten worse though lately with so much immigration coming in.
Well, listen, we've done some episodes on languages and, you know, the rush of new workers into our industry. You know, I don't avoid the whole immigrant and illegal stuff, but languages and communication play a vital role. And we've done countless investigations where, you know, it's like, I didn't understand anything that guy told me. We got to get a translator in here. We got to get, you know, they're in court and it's like they're speaking Italian and they're translating and, you know, no, I didn't see this. No, I didn't understand that. No, I didn't read this. No, right? So it's a lot of big fat no's.
All that does is delay getting to the truth.
Well, it's not about getting to the truth. The reality is that person did not understand anything that you communicated to them.
That's true. So they're not really at fault.
Well, hey, listen, ignorance is a whole other ballgame too, right?
That's interesting. Would they still be at fault as the worker?
Well, listen, that would depend on the investigation and the scenario, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone has duties and responsibilities, and the fact that you can understand as a worker the information that's being communicated to you, I feel that the onus is more on the employer to ensure that the information is adequately communicated to you. But, you know, it's not like you have a worker that speaks zero English. There's always a couple percentage points there in terms of English. And yeah, then they ask the other guy and then they translate. But if the translation is like anything that you did last week on the other show, then these guys are shafted, man. You're Portuguese.
I told you it was my second day.
Holy bro. All right. We talked about roles, duties, responsibilities, emergency plans. So if shit hits the fan, what's
emergency
the game
plans are based on each job site.
Could be on a job site. It can be an industrial facility, you know, muster points. What do we do? Mm. And yeah, and job sites have emergency plans, you know, high rise, whatever, low rise, you know, even infill housing and stuff like that. But, you know, the emergency plan, 911 and run as fast as you can.
I'm surprised how many times indirectly I understand when I'm interviewing people, workers are not familiar with how far away hospitals are.
You know what?
I know we're supposed to put it on our board, exactly the direct route to get to it.
Yeah, map to the nearest hospital.
But when I talk to a lot of workers, they don't know really how close or how far the hospital is.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's a requirement by law, and there's a reason that that law has been put into place. I don't know what the reason is, but I can guess that there was a good reason for it. Unfortunately, with the most of the laws that are written in the regulations, it's because something happened, somebody died or somebody got seriously injured.
And the other thing is the confusion of calling an ambulance into a new subdivision construction site.
Oh, yeah.
You know, roads aren't there yet, right?
Yeah, well, the roads, yeah, it's access, right?
Access
to a job site and then location on a job site. How do you get? I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and they do this type of project that they're on. They're doing a whole bunch of tunnels and shafts and multiple shafts and multiple tunnels. And they have a whole area blocked off. But to get to the job site, you got to take all these routes to get to the job site. It's a whole bunch of detours and stuff. And I'm like, well, in case of emergency, would the fire department or the ambulance know how to get to this job site? Or would they have to go through this labyrinth that they have to get to this job site, right?
It's true.
You know, and every minute counts. So, and then we have some environment plans. You know, some of these companies are doing a really good job of recycling and minimizing waste on a job site or the amount of garbage that goes to landfills and stuff like that.
That's got health and safety attached to it?
It ends up being part of some of health and safety policy and programs. Right?
Why?
I'm not sure why.
Is that part of the greenwashing bullshit?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just people that are trying to make an effort in terms of, you know, the waste that's being produced and making an effort to recycle some of these things, right? You produce a lot of waste on a job site.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Like, why can't we reuse some of this stuff? It's even some of my clients have, they'll gather stuff for like Habitat for Humanity. So they'll recycle it that way.
Yeah, you that know. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, of course it does. But I guess all the extra concrete, extra drywall, extra whatever, right?
Listen,
instead of just
dumping it. If they can reuse it, the more the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Okay. So recycling is always good. That whether or not it's actually getting done, and that's a whole other conversation, and we can recycle only four kinds of plastic.
It will get recycled if the lift of material is big enough to be sent to another job site.
Yeah, possibly.
Then that's the extent of recycling, I think, in construction.
No, there's
some. Yes, I'm talking about theft. Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
I was wondering what you're getting at there, Manny. All right, so you have a health and safety policy and program, and you monitor it. It's a fluid document. It grows, it moves, it's being communicated. People,
but it has to begin.
Yes, you have to have it. And I brought one in from one of my clients.
Pretty thick. That's not thick. It's a 3-inch binder.
So first, let me kind of pull it over here. I don't know if you guys can see it.
You're going to lift it up a little bit. So there it is.
Wait,
it's a 3-inch binder.
I'm going to take this thing to the gym, man.
Right? So if we're looking at thickness, that's about how thick it is.
Yeah.
First of all, shout out to Santos Concrete. Let me borrow their beautiful binder. They're one of our clients. We built this thing. Now, this whole thing isn't their health and safety program. Their health and safety program is
halfway.
Is that?
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is their game plan. Now, what's all of this? So, yes, you have a health and safety policy and program. Yes, it has your game plan. Yes, it has your rules. Yes, it shows how you communicate. Yes, table of contents and policies, and has all of these things. But now, how do you make sure that it's being followed on a job site? How do you make sure you're identifying controls? Identifying hazards and placing controls. How do you communicate this information to the workers, right? So, and this has been happening for the last, 50 years, this style, this format, this way. What happens is we give them blank inspection forms, blank safety talk forms, workplace violence and harassment checklists in the workplace.
Is this all done? Can it all be done online, or is it all done in person?
So a lot of companies that do not have an online system, and this has been done for a while now, where they do everything on paper. They generate paperwork, right? So me as a foreman / supervisor on a job site, at least on a weekly basis, I'm doing a safety talk with my crew. Hey guys, this is what we're doing. These are the hazards associated, whatever it is. Or if as a supervisor, you want to do it more frequent, there's no set time in the act or the regulations for how frequent you have to do a safety talk.
Oh, there isn't?
No. You just have to prove, it's just a form of communication.
So you just have to prove that you have done it.
You just have to prove that you've communicated information on a frequent basis.
But there's no definition of frequency.
No.
Not clear definition.
No, it's not defined in the act and regulations, right?
Like once a week, once a month, once whatever.
So for safety talks, what we tell all our clients is when you start a new job, have a safety talk right at the beginning to go over any hazards associated with that job. You're on a new project, go through it, discuss.
New worker comes on site now a month into the project.
Then they should have some information. A separate
safety talk.
Yeah, yes.
Got it.
You know, just document that you're having conversations. And the reality is supervisors are having these conversations all the time.
Hmm.
They just don't document it.
Got it.
Right? Well, they should be documented, but a majority. Anyways. So safety talks and then inspections. And then there's a section in the regulations that deal with inspections and the frequency of inspections at least once a week for projects and for machinery and for equipment. And then you have other sections that deal with machinery and equipment and pre-use inspections and stuff like that. So there's a couple of points you got to hit on a daily and a weekly basis in terms of documentation that you're supposed to be creating. So
connected to inspections.
Connected to your health and safety program.
Okay. All right. Okay,
so the program is all the information. And then all of this other stuff is the tools that you use to ensure that your program is being followed.
The analyzing.
It's the inspection reports. It's the safety talks. It's the machinery inspections. Fall protection equipment inspections.
He wants you to go that way.
Sorry, Otto, man. I just keep on getting comfortable over here. These guys are very picky where I sit and where I talk. You think with a microphone, this thing's huge, Manny.
Who was there yesterday? I can't remember. They had no, with the laptop. Oh, yeah, it was Taylor. Yeah, I know. It's in the, but wait, I need that. That's the thing. And then I need the camera. I need you to be in the center of the camera.
I'm trying my best.
No, that's fine.
I'll move a little bit over here.
That works. But pull the mic closer. I'm working on it, man. That's fine. There we go.
You guys put me in a studio. I don't want to be on a job site.
That's how you trick. Well, you could do it on a job site, but.
So, you got this massive document. And then every week you're generating paperwork if you're following it. For every project, for every supervisor, for every health and safety rep, you're generating paperwork on a weekly basis. Then you got to file all that paperwork.
The site super.
Supervisor is required to do inspections. Could be a project supervisor. It can be what you guys call a foreman, right? You got a bunch of guys there. You got to communicate.
And individual, somebody.
It has to be done, right? What the regulation says, a supervisor shall.
Is it easy to fill all this stuff out? Or is it just tedious?
I don't know. You know, the workforce always complains about the paperwork. And
for what reason, though? the time it takes.
It takes time, and you have to walk around, and you have to focus on safety, right? And there's always the argument, I don't got time for this, I don't got time for that, and you know, this is why I got to carry all these papers. And you go look in the back of the guy's truck, and he pulls out, oh yeah, let me show you all my inspections, and you know, paperwork everywhere, it's a disaster. And I get it too from the perspective of an employer, you know, like I'm in the business of construction and building. I'm not in the business of safety. You know, why am I going to spend an hour?
But safety is another tool.
Safety goes hand in hand with production.
Yeah.
Right. But that, not all people see it that way. Maybe that's
the best way it happens.
Until shit hits the fan, right? You got a lot of employers that don't have a health and safety program. They don't follow the rules. They don't, you know, there's employers out there that just don't give a shit.
Do clients feel much better once they get into this game? Once they figure out that this is the routine, this is part of my business?
Sooner or later, you got to get into it. Why? Because you can only operate under the radar for so long, right? If you're an employer and you're operating under the radar and something happens, you're going to have to level up. You have no other choice,
yeah.
Right? The critical injury investigation, this, and this, you're going to have no choice but to level up. If you're an employer that has all of these things and then doesn't do it on the job site and something happens, it's a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. Because the Ministry of Labor investigation is going to show that you have all of this wonderful paperwork, but you don't follow it. All right? So it's a bit of a double-edged sword. If you have it, you need to follow it. And if you don't follow it or you don't have it, you know, how are you going to prove to in court? What are you going to say? Now I communicated to this guy, but prove it to me. I can't.
With your plan and working with your clients, mm-hmm. is it too much compared to what other companies are doing? Are the companies just doing enough to stay under the radar?
Other companies meaning other safety companies?
Yeah, other safety.
I don't really track or follow what other safety companies do. You know, as an inspector, you definitely come across a lot of programs, a lot of documentation, and you meet a lot of safety professionals, that's for sure. But you know, the good ones are out there doing their best and they're passionate about safety and they're doing their best to protect their clients and protect mm-hmm. their workers. You know, there's a lot of safety companies out there, just the way there's a lot of carpentry companies out there. Out of all the safety companies besides mine, there's only probably one that I would recommend.
Really?
Yeah.
And how many are there out there that you can drop?
Boom. Timber.
That's how big the book is. It's just like, the table
three broke. People just got injured from the health and safety program collapsing.
You got to throw on an earnest on that, man.
I am earnest. It is steep. Yeah, it is what it is, man. So now some shameless promotion, I guess, for S1.
No, because that's what you pretty much put together for your clients.
This is what I put together for my clients, yes.
And then you walk them through this whole process.
And then there's a bunch of, here's a list of what you need to be doing. It's almost like you come into the gym, you meet your trainer, your trainer develops a game plan for you. Now it's up to you to follow your game plan, and your trainer is going to verify how well you're doing and following your game plan. That's what it really comes down to.
How long does it take, Phil? Like
for me to build something like this?
Yeah.
Well,
working with the client, starting from new.
I like to really embed myself with a client before I even touch something like this. You know, I really need to understand the scope of work and the type of workers and the workforce and the languages and the challenges. I need to understand all of that, or my team needs to understand all of that before we even start building something like this.
Got it.
Because, you know, you're a roofing company. You don't need anything in here that deals with scaffolds. You know, I'm just saying. Okay. How about tower cranes? You don't need anything that deals with tower cranes in here, right? You only need to deal with relevant information. And in our business too, I guess the underside of safety, there's a lot of copying and pasting going on, right? So I'll take this company's health and copy this, paste it here. And some of the information is still relevant for both and this and that. But, you know, it's like asking ChatGPT to build you a health and safety policy and program.
I'm not surprised if that's not happening.
Oh, yeah. ChatGPT. Yeah, whatever. AI.
It's got to be happening.
Oh, man. I don't know. I trust AI as much as I don't trust it.
So everyone's just build me a safety, health and safety book. Spit it out.
I'm sure it's happening. I don't know to this extent, but I've definitely.
It can't be because you need to start where you start. You got to figure out the client. You got to figure out the construction business. You got to figure out the workers. You got to figure out everything.
I'm a hands-on type of person.
Yeah, but you're ChatGPT doesn't have that hands-on.
No, no, not even close. Asking a computer to develop a game plan to keep your workers safe is insane. You know, like, I don't trust AI at all. I don't trust self-driving cars. I don't trust Siri. I don't trust my phone. I don't trust any of it.
Oh, they're listening right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they get the front row seats at the podcast. But, you know, like, I'll only get comfortable with AI with the day where I could see a robot that's powered by AI that is, you know, taking care of children. When that day happens, then maybe.
That's probably the one I'd be nervous about.
Of course. But that is the ultimate threshold of trust. Like, would I entrust my children to a robot that's powered by AI? I don't know, man. Why would I entrust my workers? Yet.
It might happen in our lifetime, but we'll see what Musk is up to.
Man, there's a crazy movie on Netflix with Megan Fox.
I heard of it, yeah.
I forgot what it's called. Anyways, you guys got to watch this. The whole premise is this: he's a foreman on a job site.
Oh, it's construction relevant?
Yeah, he's a foreman on a job site. And they lay off all the workers and replace them with Sims, which are robots powered by AI. And the humanoid-looking robots. And they replace all the workers. It's crazy. This is really
and crazy. Then he hires the hot one to be his babysitter.
Then he hires the hot one to be his babysitter, Megan Fox. Don't get me wrong. I like Transformers Megan Fox.
Megan Fox lost me when it was Megan Fox. Yeah, that's when it lost me. Never saw it.
Anyways, yeah, no, good movie. But yeah, that's the health and safety program. And, you know, before all of these online systems, and there's a whole bunch of them, including S1, you know, everyone would just do their stuff on paper. I remember at the MOL, you know, okay, here's a bunch of orders, provide me all this documentation, and they'd show up with banker boxes of paperwork. Yeah, these are all inspections for June, and
boom.
These are all our inspections for this many months, and this and that, and programs, and this, and subs, and that. And you get banker boxes full of paperwork.
And then you got to figure that out?
Then I have to go figure it out. That's the investigation.
Why not just start digitally speaking and everyone just using tablets and PDF docs.
All I'm saying is that's how it was previously done. And that's still how a majority of it is done out in the field.
Are people getting more innovative and streamlining things digitally speaking?
I think so.
It'd be easier for you to assess the company if it had that digitally
speaking. No, not at all, man. You know, the way I look at it is either you're writing it down on a piece of paper or you're punching some buttons in a computer.
The act is being done. That's what's critical here.
It's being done just in a different format.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of companies are like, oh, we got safety systems. This is a great advancement for safety. It's not an advancement at all. It's a lateral. Like I said, whether I'm writing it on a piece of paper or whether I'm typing it into a computer, I save the piece of paper in a filing cabinet or I save the PDF into
a folder.
I don't see it as a big advancement. It's just a different format of doing it. But there is opportunities when developing these systems. And, you know, we've been spending at least 8 years, 7 years developing our system, right? And our system, and again, I might sound a little biased, but our system is more than just fill out this form and create these PDFs these PDFs.
Because safety is a lot more than that.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about my system because today is all about shameless self-promotion.
Then do it.
But again, this is the health and safety program. This is the game plan, the challenges. How the hell do I communicate this to my workforce? How do I make sure that my workforce understands every single page that's in here?
Is it pretty simple?
Depends on who writes it. A lot of it is legal.
No, yours. Is it pretty simple communicating to your workers if you get that?
It's challenging, man. Whoever's communicating it needs to fully understand it. And it's the employer's responsibility to communicate this to the workers. Now, when we create this health and safety policy and program, we do it a couple ways. But normally what we'll do is we'll bring all the workers in. We'll spend the whole day of training and reviewing and going through and getting feedback and kind of working with the entire crew or the entire workforce on how it's to be done safely on a job site or how the work's supposed to be done safely, right? So it does pose some challenges in terms of communicating. I was with a client the other day. Their health and safety program is almost 500 pages.
How many pages is that?
I'll say 250.
Whoa, twice the size of that.
It's double that.
6-inch binder.
But, you know, no, the program is only this part. The rest is...
Got it.
But, you know, there is some challenges, and you... As the employer,
as the employer, you're required to communicate this information. The more your workers or your team understands the game plan, the better they can follow it, the less chances of, or should be, the less chances of injuries, you know, reduced risk, reduced probability. And that's what you want to do. You want to take it down in terms of risk and probability, right? If you're on the job site, no harnesses, no nothing, everybody's just raw dogging the whole thing, the risk and probability or the chances of an injury happening are definitely elevated.
Do companies take pride in the, remember those signs that used to be 100 days since our last incident? Remember that? I don't see that anymore. Gone are the calendars, you know, the calendars, and those signs. I don't see those signs of it's been 100 days or 300 days.
I haven't seen any of those signs. I think I've maybe in my entire career I've seen that sign once.
I know, I've seen it a few times, but it's just I don't see them anymore.
I don't know.
The calendars and those signs are gone. Yeah, I guess probably put them together.
I don't know. You know which counter I'm following these days? How many times a truck hits an overpass in BC? That's the, have you seen how many?
Is that like on the rise?
Dude, man, these guys can't get past 30 days or 40 days. I think
I know downtown Queen King and Spadina. Did you hear about that?
Oh, fiasco? The dump truck that took down all those wires.
GFL.
I don't know which company it was, but
it was a big green one.
You know what boggles my mind is that why do we have wires everywhere? That technology is 100 years old. Well, like, what are we doing? Why do we have wires everywhere?
I don't get it. Because we're dealing with a TTC that's a dinosaur. I can't stand those wires. You're like in a net. Dude, I feel like a fish.
You see these pictures from Toronto 100 years ago. It looks exactly the same, those wires. There's wires everywhere. I don't get it. Literally, the technology is 100 years old.
That's a different story, man. Wait, you got to talk about yours?
Wow, we're making a lot of time here, right? All right, I'm jumping in. Let's go.
That's what I mean.
All right. Employer challenges. We got cost. Okay. So cost, equipment, time, you know, going through this, communication, paying for training. There is a cost associated with this. Now, as an employer, you also got to weigh the cost of not doing any of this. And if something was to happen, we talked on previous shows, max fines, $2 million, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. You know, what's the cost of not doing safety?
Yep.
Right? And time obviously is massively important to safety. Knowledge, a lot of employers out there just don't want to know or don't know the information about health and safety, what they need to do. You know, you ask some companies out there, what's the occupational health and safety? I don't know. What's the regulations? I don't know. Who's the Ministry of Labor? I don't know. Right? A lot of employers out there have no clue.
Yeah.
And they're happy to stay like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Under the radar.
Ignorance is bliss, you know, until something happens and, oh shit, I should have done something. You know, other challenges, equipment, specialized equipment may be required for health and safety, harnesses, or Steve likes to call them earnests. training and languages. Employers responsible to ensure all the workers are trained, but not just external training, WMIS and worker awareness training and working at heights. That's the easy part. This is the hard part, this health and safety program. Right? So, if you look at this 250-page document, the employer is required to ensure that it's communicated.
Yep.
You know, so that takes a lot of time. And then compliance. How do you make sure your workers are following the rules and the law? It's easy to lay all these parameters out, but how do you verify that everyone's doing their homework? How do you verify everyone's following the law? How do you verify that what you told the workers to do is actually being done?
Yep.
Right? So a lot of these things... A lot of this is challenges from the employer side. And, you know, we work with all a variety of different employers, from small companies that have a bunch of illegal workers to really big companies that, you know,
have a bunch of illegal workers
that have, you know, over 200 workers. I wasn't going to say that many.
I was going to say that.
But, you know, it's different employers at different levels with different challenges. And a lot of the employers we deal with and I prefer dealing with are companies that are a 0 or a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, because they have a lot of room to learn. They have a lot of room to grow. They don't have any bad habits. They want to level up. They don't want to be bad actors.
Yeah. No, bad habits.
Oh yeah. They want to start off on the right foot. Right. So a lot of these companies are 0 and a 1 and they come to us and say, Philip, what do I need to do? Right? How do I get there?
Going back to the AI thing, I could see a lot of these companies taking advantage of that. And that's kind of like, hey, we took care of it. It's all good.
I don't know, man.
But that's not the solution.
That is definitely not the solution.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, a while ago, we started building a system to kind of address some of these challenges from the employer perspective. You know, we put our heart and soul into building the system, and we wanted to help employers. That's what we really wanted to do. So we built a digital due diligence system where you can do everything that the law requires you to be doing online. Now, okay. It's a lot cleaner than paperwork because you don't have papers loose all over your truck and you know, have to file all of this stuff. But we wanted to build something that was more than just a PDF creator and a PDF filer, right? So we wanted to improve on learning and communication with our workforce. So we designed and built interactive components into our system. Our system's available in 10 different languages to help communicate all of this information. You know, we put in a lot of micro learning, a lot of more interactive components that deal with fall protection and, you know, fatality breakdowns. And we got the whole videos on fatalities and contributing factors, you know, digital hazards, our health and safety network, who are the players in this big game, what do they do, what are their roles. Young workers, we have a whole section on this because young workers have the highest stats for injuries.
Because they're not trained well.
Multiple reasons.
Yeah, I think there's, that's probably one of the bigger ones.
Yeah. And then we have a section here that deals with resources and MOL enforcement stats. So whatever information they release, we try to keep this updated as much as we can. So we wanted to improve the way workers learn and the way employers communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the first ones in North America that created a system that communicates this entire health and safety policy and program for an employer in 10 different languages. We have workers that only speak Spanish doing inspections in Spanish. Our safety talks, you know, I can communicate a safety talk in English, and you're Portuguese, and he's Spanish, and he's Italian, and everyone receives it in the language they understand.
Mm.
Even our training classes. So we have training, a component to our system, where I conduct a training class in English, but everyone's following it also in different.
Boom.
This thing just doesn't want to keep stay up, man. So compliance. So
that's paramount.
It's
Are you one of the few that's doing that many languages?
To the best of my knowledge, we're the only ones.
Really?
Yeah.
The other ones mostly are just English and French?
Listen, I've seen the other systems and some of my clients that are, you know, operating as 7 and an 8, really high up on the safety level, you know, they might have other systems because their level of safety is a little bit more complex, a little bit more, I don't know, more layers, more red tape, I don't know, more bureaucracy. But they use our system for languages and they use our system for LMS and a variety of other things, right? So our system plays a role, but our system is more focused to small to medium-sized companies, companies that are starting off, companies that are getting into safety and kind of want it simplified. It doesn't need to be as complex as some of these other systems are. Obviously, it's accessible from anywhere, any device. There's no need to buy all these iPads or anything like that. You can use our system on our phone.
Just go online.
Just go online.
Simple as that.
www.mys1.com.ca. MySS1S.ca.
MySS1.ca. Sorry.
I'll say it really slow for you today, Manny. It's early in the morning.
It's Friday.
MySS1S.ca.
There we go.
Then we got stats, you know, so you can track all your stats and number of injuries and types of workers and stuff like that. And hopefully you take the information from your stats and you can build more safety components or change or adapt to, you know, your workforce. And ultimately, what the system is designed to do is reduce your risk and probability of injuries happening, right? And that's the game plan. So we put this thing all into one really awesome system, you know, and it's providing solutions, especially now with so many languages in the workforce and so many issues, you know, it's providing solutions to these employers, which is
you're really filling a void.
Well, listen, we're just helping, man. We're just helping. And we built a really cool Swiss Army knife with multiple tools in it to help employers. Now, just like any other tool, if it stays inside your box and you never pull it out, then what's the point?
There's no point at all.
Right?
Use it.
So, you know, we got our own team of health and safety professionals, and our focus is on designing and building custom health and safety solutions for different employers in different industries. You know, we develop programs that are ISO certified, we develop programs that are CORE certified, and ultimately what we want to do is raise your safety level as an employer. We also do field level compliance and implementation. So, you know, it's like a checkup, just like the instructor at the gym. You know, you pop in every once in a while just to make sure you're doing your reps and make sure everything is going good. And we offer a variety of different training. We have online training options on our system just for our members. It's not an open system, so just for our members. And that training is offered in 10 different languages, which no one else is doing, not even these, you know, these big companies. And ultimately what we want to do and what we're really good at is preventing problems. We're really good at solving problems too, but solving problems is more expensive.
But protecting your business and your workers.
That's our number one job, man. We go up to bat for anybody that's on our team, toe to toe. That's what we do, man. We got your back. You know, and even with these, a lot of these other software systems, you know, if you have a safety problem, you call them, they're going to give you IT answers. You know, you call us, we're going to be on your job site within an hour. Right? So it's a little different, you know, and
that's what you want.
That's what I would want.
That's what I would want as a business owner.
Right? I'm in a problem. I pick up a phone. I make a phone call. Someone's here to help me out.
You know, because it's the good construction companies actually do that. And I'm talking about, I keep comparing it to other trades or other scope or other details of a job site.
Mm-hmm.
When you got a problem on site, construction wise, you figure out how to get the right person, the right tool,
100%
on site right away to get it done.
And whichever safety company you, as an employer you pick, or a safety individual you hire, you know, some of these bigger companies have full-time safety staff, right? Directors and managers and all kinds of things. But whoever you pick, where they have to be able to be competent. They need to be competent, knowledge, training, and experience. You know, you can have a lot of these accreditations. I'm an NCSO and I'm a CRSP. And
wow, more alphabet.
Yeah, more alphabet stuff. Okay. And, you know, even when I hire people, I could care less about their accreditations. You know, I'm hiring a person. I'm hiring a personality. I'm hiring someone that's teachable. I'm hiring someone that has experience. I'm hiring someone that's competent. I'm hiring someone that has knowledge. That's what I want on my team. And we vet our team. Like, our team is the best. Our team's the best, Manny.
No doubt.
Hire those guys.
And I'm assuming you do the same with your clients.
100%.
Because you need to get an idea of who they are. As a brand, as a business, as an individual.
Yeah, listen, we try to help out as many people and employers as we possibly can. Have we dropped clients?
Yeah. For what reason?
They you know, they hire us and they just to say that they hired us and just, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but they never do it.
They don't,
You know, it very rarely does it happen, but it has happened in my career for sure. You know. It
makes sense to drop them.
Well, no, listen, if I'm over here wasting my time telling you things and you don't do it, what the hell am I doing here? That's how I look at it.
It's a matter of time that something's going to happen.
Yeah, figure it out. Call me when you got a problem. You know? There's a couple ways. It's either preventative or it's reactive.
What's this here? Training centers?
So when we built our system, we didn't build it just for employers. You know, we have other components of our system because we wanted to deal with other challenges in our Ontario Health and Safety Network. And one of the other biggest challenges is training. It's only provided in English. Maybe one or two other languages. Maybe.
French?
Spanish, if you get in a Spanish instructor, which I'm sure there are Spanish instructors or Portuguese instructors or, you know. But that only covers two or three out of all the languages. Mm. So, you know, we wanted to be able to give tools or build tools that any training center or any other health and safety company can do training for their clients and their workers in multiple languages.
Makes sense.
Right? So we built tools for other health and safety companies.
Huh.
Yeah, and we have a few health and safety companies, I think three or four right now, that are using our system just for their training, for their in-person training.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, it's pretty cool. You know, it's not all this competition that people make it out to be, right? It's
the objective.
The objective is the same, and everyone's objective is
exactly.
Do the best that you can to protect these workers and protect these companies. So we built this for other training centers, other facilities, you know, a lot of either unions or safety companies or, you know, immigrant programs that teach some of this stuff. You know, not-for-profits. We have one not-for-profit now on our system, and that's what they do. There's like an immigrant portal where immigrants come in and they need to learn about the law and they need to learn about the rules and they're going to construction. Okay. So we help out there too, right? Because even our system doesn't just have to be safety information. It could be production training. You know, how do you use this special hammer? I don't know. But it can be a variety of those different things, right? And then we built additional tools for other safety professionals. So if you're a safety company out there that would like to train in multiple languages, or if you're a safety company out there that would like to have specialized enforcement tools, the ability to manage your clients and track your hours and stuff, we build those tools into our system too. Because let's say I'm a safety consultant. You know, I got maybe another guy helping me and I got four or five clients or six clients. You know, I'm a small company. I want to be able to offer them a system. I want to be able to offer them languages. I want to be able to, you know, offer them additional services that I can't because I don't own a system. I'm not repping a system.
So they have a lot of questions. You have a lot of answers.
We're trying to help, but yeah.
Basically.
Right? So it's just providing and creating additional tools. And, you know, a lot of people talk to me about systems and stuff like that. And I think that's the fallacy in the creation of all these other systems, you know. They built it for themselves.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Does it act good?
If I was going to compare systems, some of these other systems are like Teslas. I know how much you love electric cars. They're like Teslas. You know, they look great. They got a lot of fancy buttons, a big screen.
Well, I'd argue touches. That first point that you just brought up, they look great.
Okay. I know you'd argue the whole thing about it, but you know, it's a Tesla. It's a lot of fancy buttons, a lot of extras, a lot of things that, you know, are they look really cool, but how does that help me in the real world? You know, and ours is like a 1998 Toyota Helix with a machine gun on top. It goes everywhere. It doesn't get stuck.
And you'll get 500,000 kilometers, if not a million, no problem.
Easily. It runs on diesel. You know, that's how we built our system. We wanted to tackle a lot more challenges and we just didn't want to create an out of the box here, fill it up yourself. It's like Microsoft building Excel and selling you Excel. And now you got to go figure out how to use it and input all the information. You know, we input all the information.
You've done a lot of the homework.
Oh yeah. Look, this is what did I put here? Safety talk in Portuguese.
You can drop down and use, okay.
Yeah, so this is a safety talk that we created in Portuguese, again, just for testing purposes and stuff like that and for the show, but, you know, look.
It's all there.
It's all there. You give a safety talk and it's all in Portuguese, man. That's unheard of. Spanish, Russian, Chinese, you know, Arabic. So we have it. We're doing it. And our clients like it. So that's the most important
part. Because they're using it.
Yeah.
That's the key thing.
So this is what we're doing starting January 1st, 2025. We just wrapped up our last batch of clients that we put into the system. And now we're going to accept our next 25 members into our system. Okay. So why do we only accept small batches and small groups? Because we like doing custom shit. You know, it takes us time. We want to make sure we take the right time to understand your business, understand how you operate, understand what your challenges are, understand where your shortcomings are, understanding what you do, and then going in there and building exactly what you need.
And for it takes your business.
For their business, fully customizable, right? So this is how it's going. Implementation for a company. If you're an employer and you want to join the S1 team, $2,999 if you have an existing health and safety program. You want to level up and go digital? Bring us your program. We'll set you all up.
For three grand.
If you do not have a program, and just to go back to these programs range in price of development from anywhere from $3,000 all the way up to like $15,000,
$20,000.
Whoa. Yeah, some of them are super detailed. I'm working on one for a municipality right now, and it's like five programs in one. Yeah, it's crazy. Procurement packages, the whole nine yards. But if you have, if you don't have a health and safety policy and program and you want us to build you something fully customizable, then yeah, it starts at 4,000 and we implement it.
Starting from scratch.
You're a big fat zero and you need to get to seven ASAP. We can help you with that. And then our monthly subscription, no matter how many workers you have, is $100.
That's it.
Cheaper than a tank of gas. Protect your business. Right? Cheaper than what? Five packs of smokes? Maybe six?
I wouldn't know. I have no,
no
idea.
You don't smoke? Hey, you use cigars. How much one of your cigars must cost?
That's
$100
a different story.
Hey?
They're valuable.
And then all our members that are on the S1 system, again, it's a closed system, so you can't go and just, hey, I want to join and go ahead. No. Right? It's members only.
Got it.
That's how we roll. So all of our members receive a discount for our consulting. So we have our consulting division, and you know, with our members, we kind of do like 5 to 10 hours a month, pop in my projects, you know, just a quick checkup just to see how everybody's doing and stuff like that. But yeah, our members receive discounts. And then we have online training, right? So within the system, we have an entire library of online training and WMIS and worker awareness training and supervisor training and stuff like that. And basically what we do for our members is we'll beat any advertised online price of any online training offering in Ontario. We'll beat it.
Really?
Except that it's free. If it's free, they're offering free, then go take it. That's for free. I'm not beating free. But we'll beat any advertised price. So if you go to an association's website and they say, we're offering WMIS for X amount of dollars, we'll beat it by 10%.
Really?
If we're not already beating it. Yeah, man, safety doesn't have to be this expensive. It doesn't.
Because it's not an excuse now.
No.
It shouldn't be an excuse.
It doesn't have to be this expensive. And the reality is, during this current economic situation, you know, it's tough for employers, man.
So here's a question for you, Phil.
Shoot.
You're starting off at $3,000 if you have an existing one that you guys will revamp. You're starting off at $4,000 for creating a brand new one.
Yeah. So basically, we're charging $1,000.
How many tickets do you need to get caught with that will overcome those price margins? Maybe what, a dozen tickets?
Yeah, less.
Less than a dozen tickets.
Yeah. Listen, this is an investment. That's what it is. Yeah. Safety does cost
money.
That's
what I was trying to get at. It's like,
it's fine, an investment, man.
Fly under
it's
the radar and get the tickets. Or spend this money.
Listen.
And start building your
health and
safety.
Companies have spent money on worse things. That's for sure. But it's insurance, man.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's insurance. It's protection. It's how much you want to invest into it and how much you want to get back and what do you want to get back, right? You're at a zero or at a one. Do you want to get to a 5, a 6, a 7, an 8, a 9, a 10?
Nobody.
Do you want to get there?
Nobody can get to a 10.
You're going to have to do 100 push-ups a day. Manny, how many push-ups? Yeah, we're way over. I know. So our monthly subscription is $100. You receive discounts on our field consulting, our S1 library and online training, and we'll match any price. And this is,
I like that.
Yeah, man. Listen, times are tough. And even here to throw another one, our system, and due to, we built it because, you know, we suspected that the economy was going to go to shit sooner or later. We built it so that even if you want to set this up, but you don't have any active projects, you can either go subscription or you can go credits. So we have a credit system that you can buy credits, just like at the casino with the slot machine, you insert $20 and you get 20 credits.
Yeah, okay.
We have the same thing in our system. So maybe you're not as busy. Maybe you only have one project. Maybe you only want to do one inspection a week and you don't want to spend $100 a month because the scope of work or the amount of work that you have won't justify that. But in all cases, subscription is probably the best way to go. But we have a credit system where you just...
Yeah, but at $100 a month, why not just go $100 a month? $1,200 a year.
But again, we set people up and, you know, we're not going to start till April. Is our downtime in the winter, for example.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So sometimes we do it that way, but we have that option. But here's a little special shout out to one of our clients, Sunrise Contracting. They're ISO. They use our system. They actually gave me this nice sweater, by the way. See, it's Sunrise Contracting. Yeah, I was at their Christmas party the other day.
All right.
Shout out to Mass. But,
well, that was a Christmas party in the garage.
Yeah, that one.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, no, those are the best ones in the garage.
Yeah.
But this is an example of their health and safety policy and program, right? So this is just one of the modules from the first page, and it's all in English, but they have a mixed group and... Here we go, Portuguese, bang.
Change everything.
Right? But this is just kind of how we show it, but you know, there's a way that it's always in Portuguese. But this is the first health and, not this company, but our system is the first easily in North America that is communicating health and safety policy and programs in multiple languages. Right? Which makes it a lot easier, man.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well, hey, listen, I've dealt with the 60-year-old Portuguese guy that's doesn't know, and, you know, trying to read and trying to understand. He's like, holy cow, this thing's in Portuguese. That's amazing. You know, it's like, you know, and guys that have been in the business for 30, 40 years, it's like, Philip, no one's ever kind of made an effort for this. And also our employers really enjoy it. The supervisors, it's really easy for them to do an inspection or a safety talk and stuff. Just push a few buttons, you know, go through the motions, but read and understand and take the time. And that's what our focus is, right? Building these companies.
I think that's valuable. That's huge, man.
Building these safety systems, you know, protecting these workers and protecting these businesses. So if there's anybody out there, any employers out there that want to, again, we're only accepting the next 25. So it's first come, first serve, because it takes time, man. It takes time because we built some really
cool. So today, on today's show, it's December 27th. So then just sign up.
Yeah, so reach out to me, philip@mys1s.ca, or you can DM us on Instagram. A lot of people follow us on Instagram and stuff. If you don't have my email, just reach out. I'm an easy guy to find. I'm all over
the place.
Have a conversation. Let's have a quick chat and let's see what you want to do.
2025 as the first year that you have a proper health and safety program.
Well, you're taking the steps necessary to protect your workers and protect your business. You know, and it starts with the health and safety program. It starts with training. It starts with communication. It starts with effort.
Yeah.
Effort is the biggest one. A will to do something. Right? And we're here to help. And I guarantee you this is going to be the most cost effective health and safety system on the market.
Less than 10, 12 tickets.
Less than a tank of gas per month, man.
No, I mean the overall cost just to get it started.
Oh yeah, easy.
So if you're a company and you've gotten 12 tickets already or whatever, then you could have had this program already.
What's our average for criticals, for all the criticals and fines that we've seen? Criticals like 75K?
The
average?
Yeah, the 70, yeah. The,
plus
yeah.
lawyers and
under
stuff?
Under 100, well, you're about 100K or whatever.
Well, and not to say that if you're on our system, that's not going to happen, but...
But you have somebody in your corner helping you out. Yeah,
your team is backed by our team.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a huge, huge thing. But anyways, we got to wrap this one up. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Manny, as usual. And away we go, man.
That's it. We're out of here. You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1. For workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.